As we reflect on our readings, we commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Grant, Heavenly Father, as we gather in the name of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will take words written in ancient days and breathe life and hope to us. As we read your word together, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand on any new week, at the beginning of any new week, we have to sort of scratch our heads at times and ask, what does the world of ancient Egypt and the ancient story of the Hebrews that we found here in Exodus, what's it got to do with us? Especially this week, as we stand on the threshold of a prayer week for our life together as a fellowship, what has that remote world to do with us? Paul, in his letter to the Romans, as he was drawing his thoughts to the close, must have been considering that this was a question for the Christians to whom he was writing. And in that closing section, he says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. What's this text got to teach us as we look again at Exodus? It teaches us endurance. It gives us encouragement. And it opens our eyes to hope. And as we start this study, we have to understand what unites us with those ancient people, the Hebrews, those centuries ago. They, like us, are a rescued people. Rescued from, rescued to. They rescued from the fatal and destructive hand of Pharaoh, we from the fatal and destructive power of sin. Rescued from, but rescued to. They were rescued by the one we have already met in our study so far. They are rescued by the power of I am. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And significantly and powerfully, that rescue which comes to them in relationship at the Passover, as they eat in the presence of their rescuing God. They, we. We are rescued by the power of the I am, who is the I am, the resurrection and the life, at that other Passover, at the cross. And in both these situations, we are rescued, they to a relationship, we to a relationship. So the story of the Hebrews was written to then just to teach us how to live with an endurance for that relationship, encouragement in that relationship, with hope. So let's hear then what we might be being taught. You see, in this story, we see something that's, we're on a kind of threshold, more of that in a moment, that God is about to do the impossible, because that's something that God does. He brings new life. He brings hope. He brings possibility to nourish faith in a new relationship. Now, you'll have a little inset, hopefully, in your service sheet. And the text of our reading is on that, and we'll be looking at that, examining that. But just notice the first verse, verse 17, of our reading, which, as I say, we'll look at more depth in a moment. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road to the Philistine country, though that was shorter, for God said, if they face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. And this issue of discouragement and of what on earth has God brought to us, what has faith and salvation brought to us, was going to be a persistent problem for them, as it is in honesty to us. And we can ask ourselves, why? Hadn't they seen the great work of God's judgment over the divine powers of Egypt? They were there, they smelt it, they experienced it, they saw it. The piles of rotting frogs, the hail, the fire, culminating in those deaths. The power. Why is there then the possibility for faith to shake? And that's why this little few verses are so significant. Because here there is a pause in the action. The past action up to these verses, we've seen the great plagues. More than that, we've seen God coming down to Moses, speaking to Moses, Moses to the people, Moses challenging Pharaoh, that great confrontation of power. The past action. And we know what's coming in the next chapter. The divided water, the destruction of Pharaoh's military might, and the great escape. But here we pause. Why? Because the scriptures are to teach us, to encourage us, that we might have hope. So what might this be saying to tomorrow morning and all that tomorrow morning is going to unfold for us? What God shows us here through these verses at this point in the Exodus is to give us three signs. Three signs that encourage us in that relationship in which we endure, in which we are encouraged, in which we have an ever fresh vision of hope. And these signs are oddly a hand, a coffin, and a cloud. A hand, a coffin, and a cloud. Let's look at the hand. Verses 17 to 18. Follow me as then perhaps as we read. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them through the road that through the Philistine country, though that was the shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. And that there are two words that act as bookends, as it were, to those few verses, and that is the word lead and led. He led frames this whole part. Now, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's personal leading, his hand, is stressed over again. And now, if you want to do a really interesting study of Acts, you can do it all online these days, is to go through Exodus and see the number of times it emphasizes God's hand. God's hand in saving, God's hand in guiding, God's hand in judging. Why? Because we see later in Scripture that this idea of God's hand is an intimate and a personal assurance. The prophets picked this up. The writer of Hebrews picked up a quote from Jeremiah talking about God's personal commitment. I took them by the hand. Now, we have two contrasting realities in these stories, right from Genesis onwards. One is God is awesome. God is creating. God is rescuing, great exercises of power. But at the same time, God is intensely personal. He guides closely. And we understand it that we might live with endurance, encouragement, with hope. For Jesus says, as we saw in our Matthew reading, his promise, I am always with you. He offers his hand, and now a coffin. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid. Then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. When you read the book of Genesis, you come to the, which starts off with the glorious story of creation. The last phrase in the book of Genesis is coffin. Coffin, is that where it all goes? You can imagine the condition of God's people in Egypt. What do they have from their past? Coffin. But yet, not only is that body wrapped in bandages, it is wrapped in promise. Because Joseph says, God will surely come. How do we deal with God's promises in the midst of the anxieties of tonight as we face the new morning tomorrow? What do we do with our sleeplessness and our anxieties? Work, job, marriage, children, grandchildren, health. David says in the Psalms, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. What an opportunity this week is for us to just stop, if we're able to. Maybe have it coming through our headphones as we sit on the train or through the car's sound system, whatever. Eyes stay open through the watches of the night. Sleepless nights? Yeah, we know about those, where all you have is the sort of illuminated dial on the radio clock slowly ticking away just how long you're lying awake. And yet, we see with this coffin a promise wrapped. God will surely come. So with this coffin, we have a promise that teaches us endurance, encouragement, and feeds our hope. And Jesus says, I am with you always. Our third step in our section here, verses 21 to 22, we have a cloud. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And by night, a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. His hand, his promise, his presence. Now, in your Bibles, you'd see in this passage, the word Lord is in capitals. Here, it's in bold. For this is God's special name. This is his living name. This is his name of revelation to those whom he loves. I am. By day, the I am. The I am who rescues. The I am who have come down to my people. I am the resurrection and the light. All those actions, those commitments wrapped up in that name. Again, two contrasting but complementary realities about his commitment to his people. One, his big scale, awesome, rescuing commitment. Whoa! More frogs. But also his personal presence. As you read, as we'll be going on through into Exodus, we understand a little later that Moses could enter that cloud, and you have this wonderful verse which is repeated in Exodus and Numbers. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. You see, relationship and commitment are fed by interaction. 2 points here about that relationship, about his speaking face to face. For in relationship with Jesus, we have to understand his yes, and we have to understand his no. Now, we have to really lay hold of that, or else we will not understand what's going on in chapter 20, when the law, the parameters, the fences, the scope and the width and the size of that relationship is spelled out. And the thing we remember is, it's the word of God to his friends. The second point is, taking us back to verse 17, that word again, guided. It's the same word, led, by day and by night. And some of us may remember the early days of our faith when it was clear and we could follow and it was daylight. But then come in our experience and our walk with God that the night comes. And this is a normal part of living with God. The night comes. God, where are you? What's it all about? Why am I lying? Excuse me. Gosh, that worked. Why? Why is it all so difficult? Now, you see, one thing we need to realize that we're taught here, that God does nights. He does the night shift as well as the day shift, that we may walk and endure and be encouraged and have hope. So what sign are we given then for tomorrow morning? We're given his promise. I am with you always. Surely I am. And in there, the echo of that name, I am. By night, as well as by day, for the night surely comes. And we most surely need to know that in darkness, I can endure, I am encouraged, my hope stays fixed because he offers us his hand, his promise, his presence. And there is another day that some of us are becoming ever more aware of. It is that darkest of dark days. It is on that day when we hear his voice again, when the things that we've read in Scripture, brought alive by the Holy Spirit, we hear directly from him. Hope's fulfillment, when he turns to each of us on that day, each of us who believe and say, this day with me in paradise. As we close this time, I have a recording of a song which has been a blessing to me as I face my own particular darkness. And as we listen to this, you'll find the words on the other side of our sheet. After that, there'll be a brief silence for us to think things through, and then again, we will be led in our praise and reflection by our music group.
Your labor is not in vain. Though the ground underneath you is cursed and stained, your planting and reaping are never the same. Your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not unknown. Though the rocks they cry out and the sea it may groan, the place of your toil may not seem like a home. But your labor is not unknown. I am with you. I am with you, I am with you, I am with you, for I have called you by name. Your labor is not in vain. The vineyards you plant will bear fruit. The fields will sing out and rejoice with the truth. For all that is old will at last be made new. The vineyards you plant will bear fruit. I am with you. I am with you, I am with you, I am with you, for I have called you by name. Your labor is not in vain. The houses you labor to build will finally with laughter and joy be filled. The serpent that hurts and destroys will be killed, and all that is broken.